can I give? What can I bring? What can I sing as an offering, Lord? What can I give? What can I bring? What can I sing as an offering, Lord?
Hello and welcome to our service for the 22nd of November 2020. It's good to be here with you this week to worship together, even though we can't meet in our buildings right now. My name is Max Cross. I'm the rector for Bedhampton Parish. It's great to be with you. Before we start our service, just a few pieces of family news for you. Don't forget that on Wednesday mornings at 8 a.m. we pray for God's kingdom to come in Bedhampton. You can find out more details how you might join us in that on our website or on the news sheet, which you can get by email. Just get in touch with us if you don't get the news sheet by email. Also, not this coming Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, we begin our journey through Advent. In our Advent course, when we meet every Wednesday night online and journey through Advent together. It's a video-based course and discussion. If you want to be part of that, you'd be most welcome. Just get in touch with the office and we will make sure you get the details on how you can join in with that. In fact, there's lots going on at the moment, lots as we prepare for the season of Advent and then Christmas. Don't forget, of course, we have the Christmas experience. Who are you going to invite to explore the Christmas journey round the outside of St. Thomas's, where we are gathering scenes from the Nativity, and they can go around each scene, have their photographs taken with their mobiles, but also at the same time, hear on their mobile the story that they are walking through, the journey they are on, and then hear a carol that relates to that particular scene. It's something for everyone of all ages. Do think about who you might invite along to that. And another Christmas thing as well, we are doing the Christmas movie, the Christmas Nativity, including people in our community. If you think, oh, actually, I could do a small scene, just film it on the mobile, I could be part of that, or I could sing a small part of the carol on the mobile, get in touch. It'd be great fun to have all sorts of people from the community as we gather together on the video and then launch our Christmas movie later in December. Lots going on, loads of stuff going on. More of that on your news sheet, which you get by email. If you don't get one by email, feel free to pick one up from St. Thomas's in Bidbury Lane. St. Thomas's in Bidbury Lane, by the way, is open for private prayer Monday through to Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Do go along and have your quiet time there if you want. And pick up a news sheet while you're there. Well, lots more to be said, but the real reason we're here is, of course, to worship our God together. Nothing will stop us worshiping our Lord. And so let's take a moment before we begin in earnest to just be quiet and come before Him. A moment of silence in your busy week as we come before God. As we go through this service today, there are some words that will come up on the screen. You should feel free to join in with them wherever you are right now. Let's be quiet. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Those words are taken from Psalm 29, which is one of our Bible readings this week. This week, we are coming to the end of a brief interlude into the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, before we head into Advent and Christmas. And this week we are looking at Matthew and the authority of Jesus. And I picked that psalm because that psalm talks about the authority of God. God has power over all. I wonder if you've ever felt helpless yourself, not sure who to turn to. Maybe you feel that way right now. As we look around the world, maybe many of us feel that way. Look at what's going on in other countries. Look at what's going on in our country. Well, rather than have our first reading later on, I thought we'd have it now. I thought we'd have Sandra read that psalm for us, and just to give us a bit of time just to come and lay before our God the areas of our lives where we feel helpless right now, and understand that He has that authority. He has that authority to bring healing, to bring wholeness. So as Sandra reads this psalm to us, why don't you just maybe even close your eyes, listen to the words as they flow over you, and just lay before your God the areas of your life where you feel helpless.
The reading is from Psalm 29, a psalm of David. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Syrian like a wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace.
Thank you for that, Sandra. You know, one of the areas of our lives where we can sometimes feel helpless is the area of sin, of doing things that we don't want to do sometimes, but just seem to find struggle to get away from. The author of many of the books of the New Testament, a chap called Paul, talks about why do I do things I know I don't want to do? But we have forgiveness when we come to Jesus. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can turn to God and we can say, I am sorry. And we have forgiveness. Let's take a moment to reflect on our lives again. This time, bringing before God the areas of our lives where we have sinned and made mistakes, and where we want to repent and turn away from them and come to Jesus. A moment of silence to do that in. Oh Jesus, we bring before you the areas of our lives where we have sinned. As we bring them to mind, we hand them over to you. We say sorry. We ask you for your forgiveness. And we receive your forgiveness because of what you did on the cross. And Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen in us all goodness, and keep us in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to now have our first song as we listen or sing along to the well-known song, At the Name of Jesus.
Every tongue confessing, people.
Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess he is King of Glory. Fantastic. And we're now going to hear from the Bible. We put a lot of trust in these scriptures, these collection of books we call the Bible. Neville's going to read for us from the Gospel of Matthew. And then after that, I'm going to reflect on what it means for Jesus to have authority.
This reading is from Matthew, starting at chapter 8, verse 23, through to chapter 9, verse 8. Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." When he arrived at the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. "What do you want with us, Son of God?" they shouted. "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." He said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take your mat and go home." Then the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given him such authority to man.
I wonder how you picture Jesus in your head. Do you picture Jesus with flowing long hair and blue eyes, maybe sat in the middle of an adoring crowd, child on his knee, lambs gambolling around his feet? Jesus, meek and mild. Well, I'm not sure before I investigated who Jesus was that I ever quite had that picture, but I probably, in truth, thought Jesus was a bit of a wimpy bloke. You see, for me, it was all this stuff he banged on about love all the time. And in my own messed up idea of what it meant to be a man, that didn't seem very manly. You will be glad to hear that my perceptions of what it means to be a man in the world today have moved on greatly since those days. But I wonder, nevertheless, what kind of picture you hold of Jesus in your head. Because it very much impacts how we see our relationship and our faith with him. Today, we continue our exploration of the book of Matthew, a biography of Jesus, Matthew's gospel. And Jesus, in our position where we're in Matthew now, chapters 8 and 9, Jesus is coming off the back end of a teaching tour, a mammoth tour of teaching, and he is tired. Yeah, you wouldn't believe it, would you? Jesus gets tired as well. And he's been trying to bring this teaching tour to an end, to just take a break and have a rest. I mean, aside of what we're talking about here today, there's a lesson for us all to learn there, isn't there? That to take a rest occasionally. But people keep asking Jesus to do stuff. Would you heal my leprosy? Come and heal my mother-in-law. How about my house servant? Would you come and heal them? Can I follow you? All these people just gathering around Jesus. And so eventually he steps into the boat, tells his disciples to head out into the lake and goes to sleep. Dog tired. Have you, I wonder, ever been at your wit's end, just worn out, not sure what to do, not sure who to turn to? Well, Jesus knows exactly how you feel. Unfortunately, not very long after he falls to sleep, a storm comes up out of nowhere. The Sea of Galilee is actually, you all know this probably, a large lake. In fact, I've had the pleasure of being there and being on the Sea of Galilee where Jesus was. I was blessed enough to do that. And if you've ever been to the Lake District in England and sat on the side of one of those lakes and looked up into the hills and the mountains around you, you'll have a pretty good idea of what it's like to be sat on the Sea of Galilee. Or apart from the sun, of course, you probably didn't have as much sun as they have there. And the other big difference is actually the sheer size of the Sea of Galilee. Lake Windermere in the Lake District is our biggest lake, and Galilee is 11 times larger than Lake Windermere. In addition to that, the Sea of Galilee is nearly 700 feet below sea level. And the culmination of these geographical oddities mean that at one moment the sea can be dead calm, and then a few minutes later there can be a storm whipped up around you, thrashing around anyone who dare be on its waters. Which brings us back to our story. A storm now rages around the disciples, and they are at their wits' end. They're about to die. I mean, they've probably seen their friends die on this lake. They know that it is not a safe place to be. Who do they turn to? Well, of course, they turn to the sleeping Jesus. Jesus opens his eyes and says something akin to, "Why are you bothering me? You could have dealt with this." And then he gets up, gives the storm the sort of look that your mother gave when you were naughty, and then goes back to sleep again. And everything becomes calm once more. The Jewish disciples are amazed. "What kind of man is this?" they say. "Even the winds and waves obey him." You see, they know that no one other than God commands the winds and the waves. No one other than God has commandment, authority over the world. Or possibly people that God ordains. I mean, the last person to do this, as far as they're concerned, was Moses when he parted the sea. Who is this man? Is he Moses? Is he as important as Moses? Is he God himself? What authority does he carry? Well, Jesus has authority over the world because Jesus is God. And then without skipping a heartbeat, we get to the next part of the story. The boat arrives and they jump out of the boat and are greeted by two demon-possessed men. We're not talking here about two slightly odd people. No, these are damaged, deranged, demon-possessed men. They live in the graveyards where the dead are. They are severely damaged people, possessed by evil. So what relevance does that have to our world today? Well, have you ever felt that evil has overtaken the world, I wonder? Not convinced that good will win out in the end? Have you ever worried for yourself and for those that you love? Jesus knows exactly how you feel. We leave the discussion of evil spirits aside for another time. But look at what the evil spirits say of Jesus. "What do you want from our Son of God?" they shouted. "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" And then some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. And the demons begged, "Jesus, if you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." And Jesus said to them, "Go." You see, it would seem that whilst the disciples are still discovering who Jesus is, who is this man, evil knows exactly who he is. Evil knows that he is God himself. He has authority. And evil is so petrified that it runs from the authority of Jesus. Jesus has authority over evil. Jesus is God. And then, just in case we haven't got this message, the author of the book of Matthew wants to tell us once more why Jesus has authority. We hear in this final installment from today's reading that some friends were bringing one of their own to see Jesus. A paralyzed man, a disabled man. The friends bring him to Jesus. Have you ever wondered why people suffer? Have you ever cried out when someone you love has not been healed? Well, Jesus knows exactly how you feel. But what an odd response. For this young paralyzed man is laid before Jesus. Jesus looks at him and has pity. But does he heal him? Well, not yet. That is coming. But first, Jesus looks into the heart of the young man and forgives his sins. The forgiveness of sin, God's kingdom coming into the heart of that young man, is more important to Jesus than his physical disabilities. Who the world thinks you are or how you look is not as important to Jesus than knowing your Creator, than him bridging between you and God. Jesus has the authority to forgive sins. Jesus has the authority to bridge that gap between us and our Father God, to bring wholeness to our lives, to bring wholeness to that young man's life, to bring wholeness to you and I. Jesus has that authority. Of course, this upsets the local religious leaders, the equivalent of me at the time. Of course, it's going to upset them. Only God can heal people. Only God can bring forgiveness. Only God can bring wholeness. Well, exactly. But Jesus says to them, "So you think I can't bring wholeness to life? How about wholeness of life as well as wholeness of body?" And then he heals the young man. He heals the young man. He brings him wholeness of life because Jesus is God. He has authority over the world. He has authority over evil. And he has the authority to bring wholeness to you and I. That's why for me, Jesus is never meek and mild. That's not who he is. He is, however, a God who calls you and I into battle. A God that says, "Are you ready for the biggest battle of your life? A battle to live differently, to see God's kingdom come. A battle of living life under the authority of Jesus, of becoming an apprentice, a disciple to our friend, to our Lord, to our captain, to Jesus. What about you? Where do you see yourselves? What kind of man is this? Is that a question that you ask? Who is Jesus? Well, for me, that's today's question. Who is Jesus to you and I? Does he have authority over you and I? Whether that's for the first time today or whether you're actually going to take this seriously now. That's the question to ask. And the author of the biography of the Gospel of Matthew would say, "Come and find out." And I also say to you, If today you ask that question for the first time, if today you ask that question for the 100th time, if today is a day when you are willing to step forward into Jesus, to step forward into a life with him and wholeness with him and come under his authority, then do get in touch and we'll have a great chat about that. But it's a decision that you get to make. And in a moment, we're going to have an opportunity to think a bit more about that. But just to allow some of that of who Jesus is to flood over us, let us have our prayers first. Nikki's going to lead us in our prayers. And then we'll come back. And if you want to, you'll have an opportunity to make that stance.
Dear Father, may your Spirit give us wisdom that we may know your will, that we may honour you and find pleasure in obeying you. Lord, we thank you for the Bible, which tells us the Christmas story. Thank you too for the writings centuries before, which tell of the coming Saviour and King. We praise you for those who toiled and gave their lives so that we could have the Bible in our own language. Help us to understand your word and to treasure it as you speak to us from it, preparing our hearts for Christmas. We know that this Christmas will be different for us, but please help us to realise that it's just one Christmas out of our entire lives. Help us to accept any restrictions on socialising and to focus on the true meaning of Christ's birth. We ask for your guidance throughout the approaching weeks of Advent, to spend time with you and to reflect on the miraculous birth of your Son. We pray for your protection on all those who were involved in the vaccine trials for COVID-19. We praise you for giving us a light at the end of the tunnel during this challenging year. Please help us to share our faith with those who don't have a relationship with you and who are scared of the future. Now more than ever, we need to be Jesus's hands and feet on this earth and support our neighbours. We ask that we can learn to love our neighbours and try to see another's point of view during any conflict. We ask for your healing hand on those in any war zone. Give them the necessary aid to meet their basic needs and strengthen all those who are helping them. We ask any violence to stop and pray that peace will one day come to the world. Let us not forget that with you, all things are possible. We praise you for the life of Elizabeth, our Queen, who has served you faithfully for so many years. Grant wisdom to our government as they continue to lead us in this health crisis. This year has reminded us how transient life can be and how life can alter dramatically when we think that nothing will change. We praise you for the reassurance that you are still in control of this world. Dear Lord, we ask for your peace that passes all understanding to descend upon those who are suffering in mind, body and spirit. Please enfold your arms around the vulnerable and help them to realise that they are loved by you. Give all those who are suffering the knowledge that you are always with them. And let those who are crying out in distress feel your presence to reassure them. How amazing that you will chase after us and bring us home to safety. We also pray for your healing hand to be placed on those who are sick in our parish or known to us elsewhere. Hear us as we remember those who have died. We pray for peace to descend on the family and friends of anyone who's died recently. We ask that all may be comforted by the knowledge that their loved one is with you in heaven. Lord, we lift up all these prayers to you from your humble servants. Amen.
Thank you for those prayers. You know, I often want to make my own recommitment to Jesus because sometimes I just, you know, we wander astray a little, don't we? And if you know me for any length of time, you would have heard me use this prayer from a chap called Thomas Merton. It's a prayer of commitment, but it's a real prayer, a gritty prayer, a prayer that says, I know this is not going to be easy. I know that I'm going to have a target painted on my back here, but it's a prayer that we can say together. So if you want to make that commitment with me today, the words will come up on the screen as I say them. Say them out loud, just sat where you are. Just close your eyes if it helps. Maybe picture Jesus, the Jesus who has authority over the world, over evil, the Jesus who has the authority to bring wholeness. Picture him in your mind. And if you want to, join me in saying, my Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I'm following your will does not mean that I'm actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope that I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road. Though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always. I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me. And you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Amen. As I said, if that's the first or the 100th time that you've said something like that or that prayer, then do let me know. I'd love to hear about it. Love to have a cup of coffee with you if it's the first time that you've ever done that. We're going to sing a song or let a song flow over us now that we will, many of us will know about actually offering our lives. I will offer up my life.
As a praise of your name for
sing as an offering, Lord? What can I give? What can I bring? What can I sing as an offering, Lord? I will offer up my life in spirit and truth, pouring out the oil of love as my worship to you. In surrender I must give my every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a King? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed.
Well, it's been great to have this time with you together today. It's been wonderful to share some thoughts about Matthew and to make that commitment for those of us that did that. Don't forget, we'll be doing the same online next week, and then the following week, hopefully we'll be back in our church buildings. We'll see what the government say as we come towards that time. Also, if you did make any sort of commitment, or if you've got any questions about the faith of following Jesus, the Christian faith, in the new year we'll be running an online course called Alpha. You'd be most welcome to join us for that. Just send me an email or get in touch with me and I'll let you know how that goes. And don't forget to be praying this Wednesday for God's kingdom to come, not only in our own lives but in the lives of those around us. But for now, let me pray a prayer of blessing over you as we go. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Have a brilliant week, and I will hopefully see you soon.